Colleen, how you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate you giving me a little extra time before we locked on.
Awesome. Yeah.
So we could eat. I wanted to start with that. What? So you're a health and wellness professional, if you will.
Yes.
What do you eat for lunch?
Just put me in a box. I'm kidding. I actually just had fresh cut mango and Buchanan, or I forget the name. It's this Asian, really super healthy sauce. Like they do,
what?
It's in the barbecue sauce aisle, but they have a new pineapple like variation. And so I did basically like soy sauce on mango and it was delicious.
I didn't know soy sauce on mango was a thing.
Oh my God. Sweet and salty. Ugh.
I love mangoes too. I'm obsessed. Yeah. I got all different kinds and I'll ship them in if I have to sometimes.
Whoa. This is my story.
ChatGPT taught me to add chili powder and lime, and now I've got to try. Soy sauce is good on everything. It's a secret.
Right. And it's really like this company, it's just umami. You add it to anything that you make and it just like enhances the flavor of it. So you cannot go wrong.
Yeah, it's really good on steaks too. For like instead of using your salt, or you could use it as a binder and use another salt or another spice on top of that.
Yeah. It's so good. What did you have for lunch?
Oh God, I'm so glad you asked.
Or mango?
Almost. I had, so this is my pumpkin pie smoothie. So it is, I have frozen banana.
Yeah.
And I do pumpkin or sweet potato. Today I had pumpkin. I get it from a can. Yeah. And I put a duck egg in there. I put coconut yogurt. I can't handle Greek yogurt.
Right.
I do a little pumpkin pie spice. And then my protein powders, I do a beef isolate that's active stats. I do one scoop of that. And then I'm obsessed with bone broth protein. Ancestral Supplements makes it.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, bone broth, I was so hard on it because it's basically collagen, right? There's not really a lot of leucine in there, which would give you enough leucine for muscle protein synthesis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I add in the egg and I add in a little bit extra of the beef. It ends up being about 40 or 50 grams of protein, but the amount of collagen that's in that mixed with the egg, it like makes it, it's incredible. The bone broth going together, it's absolutely delicious. I just blend all that up and put some nuts on top of it and call it.
I'm going to have to get those ingredients because I don't know what happened to my gut, but I cannot do bone broth because it's so much fat that my gallbladder and pancreas were basically like, no, dude.
Well, let me help you with that because I've had a lot of issues with a similar thing. Yeah. Bone broth doesn't have fat in it. It's only amino acids. And so
on top, like when you make it yourself.
Oh, are you eating the fat?
Sometimes. Like I just like get it all up in there.
Ha! So try this then. You can try skimming the fat off the top.
Yes.
And here's something else to think about. Don't know if this is you or not, but collagen has a lot of histamine in it.
Yeah.
If our gut's off, it can be reactive to histamine. So it's not necessarily like a histamine, too much histamine in your body. It's like your gut is having, you've been traveling a lot. I'm also assuming a lot of things about you, but if you've been traveling, your gut's off, histamine can be a thing. And you can reset that with like a 2-week antihistamine diet. So if that resonates, that might be something to check out.
Yeah. No, usually my gut's pretty good. Thank you for sharing, though, because I know histamines can be tricky.
Yeah. Okay.
But my gut's usually pretty good. That's why I was like super sad because I would make my own bone broth and then I was like eating it and it just made my stomach so upset. Like my digestion so upset. So I'll definitely make it and skim fat out.
Yeah.
And try that.
Yeah.
So cheap to make. Like it's so cheap and it's so good.
Oh my God. I love getting like when a farm has like a sale and they have a bunch of bones. I'll go buy like 50 pounds of bones and then bones for the night. You know how it's good is when it's jiggly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Fucking you can make some right now. So
take it right now.
I want to, before we like jump in, first I want to talk about when you and I met. It's kind of like a scene from
We remember how we met, because I feel like every time we have a conversation, we're like, how did we meet?
Well, I remember. You're okay, a good one for me.
I have a fish brain, so I don't remember anything.
So I'm not a fan of going to
networking
events.
Yeah.
Because it's like small talk.
Yeah.
That most people just want to advertise themselves. And I'm like, dude, I just want to talk to people.
And I want to talk to the human that you are.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine that. And that will. But we got kind of pushed together, the two like physical, mental health people.
Fitness people.
Yeah. And then we didn't talk to anybody else for the rest of the time.
Why would we?
Exactly. Exactly. No. So, you know, I appreciate you. Thanks for hopping on. I always love having conversations. This is our second podcast. We did one on your podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let Colleen tell you everything that she does here in a minute. But I want to go back before that, because I don't know, like, I see you as this person that's like really into physical health and empowering women and bringing people together, and then emotional health and play and just facilitating like a community of elevating people. And but I'm curious, is that what Colleen was always like, or is there a different version that I don't know about?
You want my hero journey?
Yeah, dude.
My heroine journey? My hair?
Did you do heroin?
No, but is a female hero is hair.
Heroin. Oh, yeah. No, I got you.
Heroin.
I'm with you.
How do you say that without saying the drug? You can't. That's crazy.
I don't know how to say it without it. I'm trying
to. No. And what's funny is, like, I think last week I shared a post, and it was basically like all the times in my life, business career, that I've built physical structures to create safe space for people. And people are like, this is so cool to know this about you. And I'm like, wow, I guess I haven't shared what I've done or, like, you know, anything about me. Like, your question is inquiring. But since I was a little kid, I really just loved being around people. I was an only child. So I think that also, like, I was by myself. I have a great imagination. I like being alone. That's fine. But I really thrived on my soccer team. I was a soccer player. And I just loved being a leader and being part of the team there. And that was really what I think ingrained a lot of my, like, strengths as a human. And I learned a lot. And you learn a lot as an athlete, and especially a team athlete. And from there, it was literally just like, how can I keep recreating a team dynamic, like, everywhere I go, and basically, like, bringing people together for the movement and the fun and the camaraderie and the empowerment that comes from, like, did you play team sports?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But, like, when you become an adult, there's really no replicating, unless you, like, do play a sport that's competitive, like, that feeling of knowing that no matter what you do, either in practice in a game, like, if you gave your best, like, your team was still gonna love you and support you. And, like, there might have been, like, some hard conversations of, like, hey, why'd you, like, miss that shot or something, but, like, there's just that feeling of, like, it's cool. Like, everyone's here. We're all working towards the same goal. And, like, I'm not going to get kicked off. Like, I'm not a bad person. I tried my best. They still like me. They still want to include me. I still have purpose. I still bring, you know, my special sauce to the table. And, like, once you become an adult, like, there's nothing like that. But unless you play sports, like I said. And I don't know about you for men, but for women, there's nothing. Like, honestly, it's like you leave college and then it's like, well, now you should just have kids and get married and, like, do whatever your husband does, or, you know, become a housewife or a whatever, like, you know, it's a very like narrow path and there isn't a lot of that team sport-esque, community-esque situations in our culture. And really, when I opened my first studio in 2013 in Rochester, it was about bringing pregnant women and moms into a collective, all in the same space for providers, for them, for their families. San Diego was the same thing, bringing women together just more outside. And I tried to open a studio in 2019, but shortly closed it in 2020 because we all happened.
Yeah.
2020 still gathered moms with other providers. We still led classes in a park. And then when I got back to the East Coast in 2020, and it took me a couple of years to like figure out what I was doing, but like we built the outdoor space on the property that we have because we wanted people to gather outside. So we have like axe throwing and fire pits, a big speaker for music, lawn games, you know. So it's always been like we can get into this, but like I had a moment, a little kid Colleen healing this week. I know we always love these conversations, but it was around like the responsibility, and we can dive into this too, is like my capacity because of me and like how I was raised, like my resiliency and how I view the world and my nervous system's grounded and calm and can handle it. But like, I don't think people give enough props to business owners and like thought leaders for like how much responsibility is on their shoulders. And like, it's a lot. Like, I'm trying to change the world. You're trying to change the world, like literally. And if you don't have the capacity in your like nervous system and the mindset in yourself and the belief in yourself, like you crumble, you don't do it because it's too much. Like literally, like you can't handle it. And so I was like, wow, Colleen. And I've never been a pat myself on the back type of person, not in soccer. I was always like, all right, I did fine. Like that game was that game. I'm not looking onto the future. Like I never was like celebratory of like what I did because it was just another day at the office, right? I did the job. I got it done. It was great. That was very masculine energy that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, holy shit, like this is a lot of responsibility. And I've like done it time and time and time again. And so I just like had this moment of like, holy shit. I've done it so many times and now I'm going for like an even bigger goal, like lots of clients, lots of money, you know, lots of travel, lots of influencing people and helping people live better lives. And I was just like, I just like had to, you know, cry for like how much responsibility that it actually was like on my shoulders. I'm like, it was okay to be like, holy shit. This is a lot that I'm taking on, but like, I know that I'm made for it. Like I'm made for it. Cause like no one else has done or is doing what I'm doing. So I know that like, it's all good. So you can pick apart what you want to ask now.
What was the emotion?
For what part?
Well, this like, holy shit moment, you know, of understanding what you've been able to build and the responsibility comes with that. Like, what's the emotion that was coming out in that holy shit moment?
It's tied to a lot of things. So, like I said, I'm very masculine energy growing up. I just recorded a video about this yesterday, so it's so funny how we're talking about it.
Yeah. I did not prepare, so.
Yeah, I just love it. This is why I love our conversations.
Yeah.
I'm 38. I think I never remember my age. Born in 86. There you go. So my parents were great parents and they loved me and they clearly provided a great, you know, life for me as a kid and still do as an adult. They support me, but like they didn't know how to like raise me. Like I still have shit that I'm working through, you know, like little kid Colleen got told to just be quiet, you know, little kid Colleen was not given any special treatment for like how awesome she was and being a leader and like, you know what I mean? So you just get like hurt as a kid. Like it just happens. And there might have been nothing that anybody particularly did. And like, I am very lucky where I don't have any little T, big T trauma that I'm having to work through. And so I am like, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. But it was very masculine energy. Like, there was very little. Like, my mom was not a feminine woman. There was very little conversations around, like, flow and feminine power and like menstrual cycles and, you know, like all of that stuff. It was very masculine. Like, we're going to do work. We're going to be an A student, nothing less. We're going to go and be the best athlete we can be. And we love you and we support you and we want you to be happy. But also like, no, we're not having a conversation about your feelings. Right. Cause like I was a teenager or a kid and it's like, I had specific things that I want to talk to them about. And they were like, no, like they didn't have the capacity to have those conversations. And like, that's okay. They were raised from a generation that went to war and like experienced the depression, right? Like they have things that they didn't resolve. So anyways, it's taken me a long time to tap into like more feminine frequencies. And that's really hit like big explosion this year and for the past year, but I'd say I've always been like dabbling in it, but my masculine like do like plan it and execute it, just do it. I can just do it, like let's just try it, see what happens. And there's very little time for like meditation, listening to my intuition. I do have really good intuition and I really have like good conversations with guides, but I was just like, yeah, it's just whatever, like, you know. But I sat down and I was like, I have to start creating space, because I'm just like go all the time. And a lot of what I want to talk about and lead from is like space and like not having to have a to-do on the list. Like, can you just go like wander in nature with no purpose? Like, can you just go do something like art? And there's no purpose to it. You're just like messing around like you were a little kid. You're just like exploring, right? And so I'm like, I'm just going to sit in silence and close my eyes and just see what comes up. And so a lot of things came up because my doing brain wasn't turned on. It was turned off. So like other things could come in. And my coach mentor passed away last year, and he was like the biggest influence in my life outside of like a family member that was an adult. And he was the first person that saw my strengths and was like, you need to do something with this. And so he forced me into coaching soccer. And so I've been coaching since I was 16 because of him. And so he was my coach mentor for that. But then he really turned into my life mentor once I became an adult. And like, he lived an incredible life. Like, holy shit, dude, like crazy stories. But he was the first person that actually was like, you're a natural leader. You see the field, you see the puzzles, you see the strategy, like we're gonna like tap into this. And like, as a kid, like to have someone see that in you was like life-changing. Like, always say like everyone needs that teacher, that mentor that's going to change their life. And like, that was him for me. And so he died. He believed in like Mother Nature. He was super connected to, you know, Mother Earth. And he like didn't have any, like he was spiritual but not religious. He knew that he was going to turn into energy one day, you know. And so like, when he died, like I was sad, but like I literally wasn't, like I knew he was always going to be with me, right? Like, and I have conversations with him. That's who I talk to as a guide. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking with him and just asking him for like guidance and ideas and my intuition and whoever else. And the responsibility conversation started and was like, I was like, this is a lot of responsibility. And it was basically like, no one's ever appreciated you for all the work that you do. and no one like helped you as a little kid. Like no one helped you like tune in more, like tune into your intuition more, like as a girl, as a human. No one praised you for being a leader. You know, like I just had all these like stories that were coming up. And it was like, but we do appreciate, like we do support you, like, you know. So then it was like all the support, like all the energetic support of that. And I was just crying and crying and crying because like for so long it was like no one understood me. And as a kid and a teenager, and teenagers are already think that no one understands them, but like, you know, for me personally, it was just, I was just weird. I didn't have a lot of, I had friends, but I only had like one or two close friends. And so it was just like that energetic support that I needed to heal whatever wound that existed within me. Because like afterwards I felt not great, but like I felt better, obviously. But I just needed to have that pause, because if I didn't take that break to have this conversation, I couldn't have healed. I couldn't have, you know, had that limiting belief released, you know. And I'm like, holy shit, like this does work. Me like pausing, not with the TV on, not with music on, like just silence in myself or nature in myself. And I like have the answers to like the questions that I seek. And it was just really, really powerful for me this week.
Wow. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you had that experience.
Thanks.
And I can relate to that so much.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how we start off with, you know, I don't have the capacity. My parents don't have the capacity. I can recognize that. And so I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to tune in. And so there's a lot of trust there.
Right.
And a lot of safety that you're creating for yourself because,
right,
you know, ultimately I didn't have safety or support. I didn't have safety. And I'm not assuming you didn't have safety. It sounds like you did.
Yeah.
It's more like certain support in these being areas. Like you were very encouraged to do and rewarded for that. Or maybe accepted. It doesn't sound like rewarded as much, but I love that you knew from this great mentor that you had that has passed, that you can get quiet and tune into that. I'm curious, has that, you know, being that you said you have more masculine kind of vibe and that's like the doing and less of the being, and then you demonstrate an ability to be and to receive and to heal. So I'm wondering, is that something that came easy to rest and tune in, or is that something that you developed over time?
I think it comes easy because I've been like playing at it like little by little. But I wish it was just like set, like part of our routine. You know, like our culture is not designed for pausing and resting. Like it is designed for like fill your schedule up and just like hammer.
Rest when you die, right?
Right. Rest when you die. Sleep when you're dead. And so I do wish that it was taught to me when I was younger. Like I learned these things and these skill sets and that these things even existed when I was in my late 20s, like when I started my business and I was meeting all these different business women, you know, more like massage therapists and energy workers that already, you know, had figured these things out. Like they taught them to me. And so that's why I learned them. But like, I didn't learn from like my parents or my family or my people I was around when I was younger. And I just wish that we had, and I wish that we would teach more kids like this was like a regular thing to like meditate or tune in and listen to yourself or ask yourself for guidance or, you know, whatever it is. But I think now it's really crazy, and I'm sure you're in the same boat like as a business owner, but it's like you read about how really top performing CEOs and like business owners, how they have like slow mornings and they have like their journaling practices or their 10-minute meditation practices or whatever it is. And you're like, whatever, dude, like they're like a billionaire. So they have time to do that. That's not for me. But then as you get like more high performing yourself, you're like, oh, shit, I really do need like to be journaling and to be taking a meditation break or a pause break. And like there's secrets to their madness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like it's like the culture teaches us to hustle, burn at both ends, you know, sleep when you die. And the hustle is what gets us to the dance. And the dance is now you have a flowing to you of people that require a lot of responsibility. So while the hustle may have got us there, got recognized, got our work out there, developed our skill, we can't carry those same patterns into scaling the business and actually building it, because that leads to burnout. And it's so funny we're talking about this because I just had a massive breakthrough myself that I'd love to share. It's very similar to this where, and this is last week, dude.
Yeah.
Turnaround from last week to this week. And it's been a slow building, but I learned a couple things that I basically, and I'm going to end with like a little tip for kind of what we're talking about. I learned that I motivate myself through scaring the shit out of myself.
Okay.
And shaming myself. Like if you lay down and attaching a story. So there's a thought, I need to lay down, I need to rest. And I go rest. And it's like, I am like, oh, if you stay, you'll never get up. You're lazy. You'll never get these things done. And just shaming myself, even with like my healing journey, like, oh, if you have this beer, if you have this type of food that's not perfect, or you don't do your nightly routine or whatever, like all this perfection and control to feel safe.
Yeah.
And I finally could see that because that's why I asked, is it hard to rest? Because I realized it was so hard to me. Mm. And my last way of doing it was, well, then cut it out. It's all or nothing. Everything was all or nothing. So that would look like in this case, if I didn't have good support around me, it would look like, well, I'm just going to rest all the time.
Yeah.
And I found this question through a perfection talk. Mm-hmm. And it was with Simona Irwin. She's going to be coming on and chatting with me again. Or chat with me soon. And it was, if everything was perfect, how would you do things? And I was like, oh, what would you do different? And I'm like, oh, I do the things that I love. And I realized, oh, nobody's keeping me from doing the things that I love. All these stories and fear and shame that I built around these things that I'm waiting until I'm perfect to do. Well, they're now, it's like you use the tool until the tool, you become the tool. And now the thing is using you. And like, I'm not doing things that I love and I'm shaming myself. And so what we decided to do was recognize those thoughts. It obviously comes from early conditioning. Yeah. That says, you know, love is conditional. You know, you can't rest or you're lazy. And so just like you've done, we get to notice these things and reparent ourselves. And for me, exactly what you're talking about with these billionaires is it's about, you know, creating a system or having a way of doing things. The last person I had on Seldom, she would say, hey, don't wait for the crash to rest. Build that into your day. Rest when you feel good. And so that was me. I was waiting for the crash. And so what I've done now is 5%. How can I rest 5%? And that may be laying on the floor and not doing anything before I hop on something. Maybe taking a pause and just connecting with my body in between calls. Because what I would do is just go, 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 and then wonder, why am I burnt out? And that's what I'm hearing from you is that you notice that in yourself, this, you know, I'm more masculine. I haven't talked about emotions. You know, my parents didn't have the capacity for that. And yet, and we even talked about society, how that's baked in. And yet you can take all that information. You didn't shut down. Like I would recognize my parents doing too. And it was simple with your parents. You didn't shut down. You said, okay, here's these patterns. Here's these things that I'm the way that I've got here, and it's not going to be sustainable. So I've learned to check in, slow down. And it sounds like you move through a big limiting belief or an overwhelming experience that now you're able to move right through because you have the tools. And yes, that is how our civilization is. And I love that you're bringing that to your communities and teaching, you know, all these, because all these things, then we're going to get into that here in a minute, but all these things that you teach, we can really turn into this perfection thing. You know, if I'm not rucking every day, if I'm not eating the perfect food, if I'm not biohacking and detoxing and doing all these things, like, what's the fear behind that? What's underneath all the doing? You know what I mean? And once you've seen it, you know, we don't have to be it.
Well, I think it's just so, thank you for sharing that story. I think it's just so ingrained in us that like doing equals success or like doing equals good person. Like, think about the school system and how we were raised. Like, doing your homework got you a better grade than not doing your homework. And so, like, we're kind of just conditioned to be like, oh, well, this equals good Colleen and this equals bad Colleen.
But
those aren't from me. Those are from, like, society as a whole. Like, I didn't choose that. That was just, like, laid on top of me. And so I think it's really hard for a lot of people to be like, oh shit, like if I do this, like that makes me bad or like whatever. And I've always been a little weird. I was actually thinking about this, like I wore like really weird clothes in middle school. Like I always like beat to my own drummer with a lot of stuff. Obviously now too, like I live in a tiny house, as you can see behind me. Just a lot of not normal things, right?
But I love weird. I love weird.
I know, but I've always been like that, and I didn't care. Like I honestly did not care that I was doing my own thing. And I think that's like I'm a Capricorn. I'm an only child. I'm like I don't give a fuck what you guys think about me. Like think what you will. I'm still gonna follow like my gut or follow my heart. And like my parents were very supportive in like big life choices of what does your gut say? So they were, you know, on that level, like what does your heart say? What does your gut say about it? And so we would have a conversation like that. But that was like as deep as they got in those conversations. So I've always done what I've been pulled to do. But now it's really like getting amplified louder and louder.
As you should, as it should. Someone like you with so much talent and experience and things to share, like you deserve a stage. And with that comes a lot of responsibility. And, you know, we have to make sure that we, as much as we're pouring out, we got to be pouring into ourselves and
for sure.
Making those breaks and, you know, getting the mental, the physical, the emotional, getting all that right so that we can show up in your awesomeness.
Yeah.
There's something you said where it's like, doing what culture says doing more is like equals more, right? But it's like really doing more while abandoning yourself because you think that I'm bad, I'm not good underneath that. Well, that leads directly to burnout and fatigue. And now you're coming to see me because your nervous system is fried and you still have this conditioning that says I can't rest. This is my story. And you can't stop because it means something. So this is when I really like inquiry work. And you can do this anytime. And you already so good of talking to your guys and getting quiet. It's like, okay, I noticed that thought. I can't rest. So you go, okay, let me sit down. Let me feel my body. Let me bring myself into this environment. I can orient. And then like, can I connect with myself a little bit? And it's like, okay, I noticed this thought that says that I can't rest, that I got to keep going, that if I stop, I'll be lazy piece of shit. How does that feel when I say that? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's like, fishing. And it's like, oh, thank you. That's such good information. And then if we say, okay, what if I let this thought go and I believe that it's good to rest and I trust that my body will repair itself and I'll show up with more energy tomorrow. And it's like, boom, this big expansion. And that's where listening to our bodies, learning how to listen to our bodies and attune, meaning give ourselves what we need in those moments, That's how we take care of ourselves. That's how we show up in the world. That's life. But when we have stress and trauma and conditioning and expectations that have been put on us that says, you can't rest, you're not good enough, you know, you can rest when you die, like, you know, all these things, that's the conditioning that those are the triggers that we need to pay attention to, turn towards, or we continue that lineage and that generational trauma, maybe that conditioning that's been handed down. So I love to see that you're breaking the cycle, that you're doing things different, and that you're showing up authentically and then sharing that with other people. I mean, that's what life is about, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that I love that inquiry work. Just taking that pause, like, you know, ties into what I did too, that just tuning in and like, what do I need right now? And let's take a moment to see what's happening, right? It's so powerful. And I had a thought and now it escaped me, but I wrote something else down. It'll come back if it's meant to. I was gonna say, I feel like what you just said, like the inquiry work, I wish that was like the thing, one of the things that was taught to me when I was younger, because it's like, think about how much more powerful like kids growing into adults would be if they knew that they were allowed to stop and like feel how that feels. And is that going to sit right with you? Is that the story that you want to believe? Is that the story that your body believes? Can you make a different choice? Can you think a different thought? Can you have a different emotion? You know, you can have a different reaction to it. Mm-hmm. Like, that is just so powerful for everybody. And I think it's just, again, if the culture only accepts to be doing, then the culture is not going to accept pausing and inquiring. Mm-hmm. So like, we have to create that change for ourselves, and we have to learn the hard way.
To do that, you got to recognize it first, which takes a lot of, going back to capacity here.
Yeah.
Capacity building is just learning how to sit with intense situations, because before that, society and our family systems say, you know, they'll reward you for abandoning yourself, reward you for leaving your big authentic emotions on the sidelines. And it's like, that's too much for me. I don't have the capacity to deal with that. So you're punished, you're made fun of, you're shamed, whatever that is. And so we get this message early on that, like, kind of what we were saying earlier, it boxes us in, it makes us small. Now we're walking on eggshells. We're avoiding parts of us that want to present themselves, and we're presenting these people pleasing and perfection and intellectualization, and it's all disconnecting and ego development. That's something I learned from a podcast I did the other day. Is a lot of modern self-improvement stuff is really geared towards leaving your body, raising your vibration, disconnecting, and it's developing the ego, saying that, like, I'm gonna leave all these abandoned parts of me that are really me way down here in this lower density, because I don't like that, and I just want to expand. Like, no, your energy is you. You're tapping into more of you. But it's like, how sneaky is that? That society has all these ways of discouraging us from doing what's right for us, from connecting to ourself, resting, doing the things that we need, speaking our truth, being vulnerable, having the emotions, rewarding us connecting to ourself. And it's like, we're subtly, slowly teaching kids to be a freaking turtle and to hold all this in. And we wonder why we have autoimmune and obesity and, you know, a lot of gender confusion and all these things going on. Like, you know, with something you said earlier kind of caught my ear. It's like, I don't have big T or little T traumas. I'm not trying to call you out here or anything.
Well, that's fine.
It's like, but it's really, when we go back to that statement, I don't believe that. Not necessarily for you, but for most, our society is traumatic. Our society is not even like how you relate to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the food we eat, the the movement we do, on the amount of outside we get, the way that kids are, I'm hearing that people are having relationships with ChatGPT. Like, holy shit. And so as I say all these things, I think of you, you know, and what are you doing? You're bringing people together. You're teaching people to listen to their body. You're teaching community. You're teaching play. Like, you're teaching women, hey, you don't have to be on this narrow do what your husband does path. Like, you're a freaking human too, and you get to experience life as well. And you get to have impulses and listen to those and emotions. And I think the more safe places we can create that encourage people to be human and in connection, to love themselves and to step out of the fucking matrix, the more we do create a new reality. And just to close my thought here, it's like, yeah, to feel like we're responsible for changing that, that feels very overwhelming. But then that's just like politics. And I'm going to be so overly concerned about all this and I got to change it. But if we scale back to my environment, it starts with me. I got to be able to love me and listen to me and take care of me. Now I can reach out and do that in my community. And now that feels less overwhelming to me. So it's like we start small to take it out. And that as we gain, I don't know, maybe this resonates, as we gain more capacity, we have more capacity to be with more intensity and more nervous systems and more people and communities. And if we're not in a state of survival mode all the time, then we get to actually feel these natural impulses and demonstrate that to other people.
Yeah, I support everything you just said. Of course I do. But I do like, so two things. I really do like how you said, like, modern society is so ego-driven. I think ego-driven is easy because it's like just in your head, right? You don't have to deal with emotions. Emotions are messy. You know, like, it's way easier if everything is, you know, put people in the box that we want them to be, because it's whatever it is what it is. But also, like, society being traumatic, like, yes, like, I was talking about just like my family dynamic, but I totally agree with you that, like, society is traumatizing. Like, just being a girl, I was a girl in the 90s. I can't even imagine being a girl in this day and age.
Hold on, pause right there. I want to know what you mean by that.
Just the difference?
Yes. What are the challenges do girls in 2025, how are they different than what they were when we were kids?
I like, smartphones didn't exist. So no one, like, I was never concerned with anyone taking my picture, taking a video of me, and then posting it for millions of people to potentially see and, like, criticize, laugh at, cheer, you know, whatever. Like, that's just one level. Like, I can't even... Like, I just think, like, all the outfits that I wore when I was a kid, right? Like, I was saying, like, I wore weird clothes. I'm like, would I have worn that weird of clothes if I knew that people were going to be taking my picture and, like, uploading it to social media?
Oh, my God.
Chat, yeah. And Instagram. And then, like, being like, look what she wore today. And then, like, everyone hating on it. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's a thing you fucking deal with.
You know, it'd be a battle. That feels like, oh, my God.
You have to conform. You have to conform if you don't want to be made fun of on social media as a kid.
And like, I see you and you're like, I mean, how healthy is this? Like, I don't give a fuck. I wear weird shit and I do whatever and I don't give a fuck what you think about. Like, how hard is that to do in today's society with, I didn't even think about, and we have societal pressures for being a man versus being a woman.
Yeah.
Having a certain standard of how you look, but I didn't think about, like, eyes being on me all the time. Like, God dang, if I think about, for me, like, if, when I, in my wild man days,
and yeah,
like, thank God there wasn't pictures and videos, because that would be, you don't want to see. My name was, believe it or not, Blackout Mitch when I was in college.
Oh my gosh. I was with you. I drank a lot in college.
Yeah.
I'm with you. But I mean, we had like the portable phones that you'd, like, plug into a computer. So we still had phone, or we still had cameras that were smaller when I was in college. So you could get caught, but those people would have to take the photos from their camera, put them on their computer, and then upload to Facebook, because Facebook was the only thing that existed, or MySpace.
Yeah.
If they cared enough to do that, right? Like, it wasn't instantaneous. It was effort. So they probably weren't going to do that. So yeah, that is like my biggest differentiation for girls and boys, like kids today versus when we were growing up, is like, I don't know how any kid can like truly be themselves without that like fear of something getting out about them. You know what I mean? Like, it feels so restrictive.
But then you perform, right? You're trying to, by conforming.
Right.
So now you're, we talked about this before, we're falling.
Yeah, you're bypassing.
I'm okay. It's that noise you like before. I'm okay. Because that's how we, like, hey, don't worry about me. My needs don't matter. Whatever you need. You know, that's what fawning is. And that's something I notice. If I fall now, I feel like crap when I could abandoning myself. And so these kids that have to be on and thinking about this and performing, I mean, good Lord, it sounds so exhausting.
Yeah. And think about like even just posting. I mean, I do this too. And as a business owner, you know, you can choose to be active on social media. I know there are successful business owners in this day and age that don't do social media, and they're successful. But I'm choosing to play the game of posting on social media, and like even just walking around, and I'm like, oh, I have to record myself doing this. I have to take a picture of myself doing this. And I like never had that thought before social media existed. And think about like younger kids always being like, oh, I got to capture this because I got to show the world what I'm doing, or my outfit or my hair, or, you know, like they have this added like neurotic layer to them, like the narcissist ego, like they have this added layer to them because this is what society has told them makes them valuable
or enough.
Good enough. Yeah. It's like your social media profile being filled with your life. Your life.
And it's all on display, and come we said earlier, to be picked apart and criticized.
Right.
You're just trying to be you, man, especially when you're developing. And so you got, God, that I could really feel that when you said a million people seeing your photo and then
making fun
criticizing of criticizing it. And then think about AI and deep fakes, and they can put a nude photo of you up. And like, good Lord. What that would do to the psyche of a kid that's growing up, just trying to be themselves.
Right. It's insane. Culture, society is insane. So let's get away from it.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
let's create our own reality, like you said earlier.
Let's go live in the woods down by, I mean, live in the van down by the river.
Well, I am working towards van life, so.
I love it. I really want to hear, I've been seeing you.
Maybe buy a
bar. Do what?
Maybe by a river would be cool.
Yeah.
Not down by the river. Like,
you know where that comes from?
Probably, but you can tell me.
It's Chris Farley. It's like, you want to live down by the, in a van, down by the river?
I love this.
Probably.
I know it from somewhere.
Well, speaking of down by the river, I've seen you do like I literally saw a post of you yesterday, and I think you were out west in Sedona maybe. And I was like, well, is she going to do a podcast with me? So I want to hear kind of two things. Like, what are these trips that you're doing all over the place?
Yeah.
How are you getting ladies together? And then like, what's your, so tell, I don't want the listeners to know all about this, like maybe some things you've got coming up, how they can find you. And then what's your, this big, scary, hairy vision that you're talking about as well? Like,
yeah,
but that wasn't too many questions at one time.
That was a lot of questions. But
start with what you've been up to.
Yeah. I think like I had something to say about what we were just jamming on. Yesterday. So this is not going to answer your question, but it'll just like feed into other things. Hopefully. So from you, I've learned about building safety, like when we're outside, like checking in with our body. So like when we're out in nature, like we can sit on our bottoms and feel our seat. We can put our feet on the ground, feel our ground, grounding barefoot if you want to go. And then scanning the landscape like slowly for building safety and like just calming our nervous system down. Is that correct?
Yeah, what you just described is orienting. So orienting to the ground under you, orienting to your surroundings. And then scanning would be whenever we look far away and we slowly move our head right to left, that can be very relaxing. Or for someone who hasn't done a lot of that, it cannot be as awesome, but it's a great resource.
Yeah. So I do all my workouts outside now, and this is silly, but I like it. I set up 60-yard cones, 5 yards apart. Mm-hmm. And I did suicides, but like old school suicides. And because I love sprinting. And why I love sprinting is literally one quote that I saw that said, most 30-year-olds will never sprint again in their life. Mm. And that literally hurt my heart so bad that it is now my motivator for running fast. Do I sprint? Yes, for me. Is it as fast as when I was a 22-year-old? Probably not, but it is fast for me. So I sprint every week. And I think that that's really important for our bodies to know how to run. If you can run, like you should be running. You just need it for all types of things. You know, it's physical fitness. Doing it outside is nature. But like if you're in an emergency and you haven't run in 40 years, like you are now a liability, you're not an asset. And so you need to be able to run to save yourself and save other people around you. Like that's really important for that longevity and that just mindset. So I was running and like as I would get done, I've been thinking about you and like orienting, because as I sprint, you know, you jack up your nervous system and like everything's firing on high. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to keep performing. And so I would get back to the end and I would like do horse lips.
Yeah.
I would relax my pelvic floor.
Nice.
I would feel my feet on the ground. I would slowly look around to like the trees in the distance. And one thing that I learned is like, you shouldn't shake it out. Like if you want to go again. So like, you know, if you do something and you're like, you know, after you're done with a set, like if you're working out, like if you're lifting and you like shake it all out, like, I just don't think that you should release all the energy, because like you need some stored energy to like go again. Right. So I didn't want to necessarily like shake it all out, but I needed to like calm my nervous system down. And so that super helped like me keep going. But then I had a pain in my shin, like I was getting a shin splint.
Yeah.
And I literally said out loud, like, you are safe. You don't need to feel pain. You don't need to send a pain signal. Like what's happening down there is okay. Like we don't have an injury. You can dispel that tension. Like that tension can go up the chain. It can go down the chain. And so that pain went away. And then like my knee started to bug me, which is like just an old injury. And I'm just like, hey, dude, like you're safe. Like I know this sucks, but like we're doing it. And if it gets worse, I'll stop. Like, if you can't handle it, I'll stop. But like, I hear you. And like, we got to keep going. Like, we literally have like one more set. And so like, it kind of went away and it faded into the background. But like, I had to keep like building that sense of safety for myself just so that I could keep going. And I'm not saying I was like pushing past my red line. It was just like,
you know yourself enough to
right.
assess and attune.
Exactly. Attune. Like I just constantly kept attuning back. And an ex-boyfriend of mine was a strength coach and he was a CrossFit coach. And back in like 2015, he was trying to tell people like about this same exact thing like I was talking about, like tuning into your body, like listening to what your body is saying before you do a big Olympic lift, like ground your feet, feel your feet, like, you know, clear your mind, chill, so you can have a really good lift. And like everyone thought he was crazy.
I bet. Because it's like somebody says, don't tune into that stuff or you're a bitch.
So, because, and very much CrossFit is so much ego-driven that it's like, you should actually go mindless and just fly through your workout.
How does that work out for you, Colleen?
What?
Go mindless. How's that? And abandon yourself. How's that work out afterwards?
Well, when I would do CrossFit and I wasn't paying attention, like I got like shoulder injuries because I wasn't paying attention. I was just mindlessly doing what they told me to do.
Yeah, okay, be good too.
It ends horribly and only you get hurt. No one else cares. Only you, the one that gets hurt and fried out.
I want to pause right here because there's so many good things you said. I just want to highlight like what you're talking about there. Is overriding versus attuning. And overriding is listening. And sometimes we do need to override, but it's basically getting the body signal and dismissing it. Mm-hmm. And pushing it to whatever you got to do to avoid it, push it down. In certain situations, that makes sense. Now, my story with that is, yeah. I remember, I might have said this on your podcast, but we're going to do it again. I remember hearing about override. From Irene Lyon, my mentor.
Oh, I remember this, but it's so good. Tell me.
I go to the gym and I've been taught this, abandon your, everything you're talking about, be mindless, abandon yourself, compete, win at all costs. And my hip was not feeling good. My trainer was going to help me put that back in place. He's a big boy. He fell on me, snapped my IT band. And I did not even feel the IT band. I felt the hip go in place and I was like, woo. And so there's a bunch of adrenaline and cortisol and, you know, yeah. Sympathetic is spiking. I went and PR'd my squat for 3 sets and walked out of there fine. And then later that day, I could not get off the couch and I had no idea.
Right.
And so there's a big difference in overriding and it, all it takes and attuning to yourself and listening to your body and all that takes, we've said it multiple times, is just a pause. And so we're connecting to our body. And so what you've done here.
Listening to the pause though. Like.
Oh yeah. Well,
you can't just be like, oh, I paused. Oh, you said this. Well, I don't want to do that. Like I'm overriding. Like yeah. You have to listen to the pause.
So what do you need and how can I meet this? You know? Right. And so maybe it just needs a little reassurance. A little, as maybe it's the things that we need when we were a kid. And I wrote down this earlier, and I wonder how it's like validation and being seen. Oh, I see you, shin splint. I know you're hurting. Hey, I got you. You're safe. I'm not doing anything to hurt you. If it really hurts, we'll stop.
Yeah.
You know? And so then that goes away. And it's like, what you're doing there is you're taking, and that's how I see everything now. I've been doing this for 20 years, dude. And so now that I have this nervous system lens, which in this situation just means listening to your body and give it what it needs. Shocking concept there.
Right.
Everything seems to go right because now the job, and I think you would agree with me here too. We're not trying to get you to do it like us.
Right.
Right. And that's something I really shifted in my coaching is it doesn't matter what I want. It matters that you're listening to your body and you're giving yourself what you need, not relying on me or some external resource. So we are building capacity to listen to ourselves and giving us the permission to respond with care. And holy shit, the things change when you start doing it that way.
Yep. Yeah. It's crazy how powerful it is when you do what you just said. Like, It's magic. Like, that's how I describe it. Like, there is no other word.
We use, in my training, we call it sneaky powerful.
Sneaky powerful?
Yeah. That's what it is. It's like, yeah. Oh man, who knew? But I could just listen to my body and rest. And maybe I don't need to rest until I'm redlining. What if I rested when I felt good? You know, like, but that's freaking impossible.
Yeah.
What's, tell me about rucking. What is this rucking thing?
Can we go in a different direction?
Absolutely, dude.
Okay, cool. I can come back to wrecking.
Yeah.
Because it ties into like other things that I'm doing. So you asked what I'm working on, and I'm an earth sign, which, and I love nature. Obviously, I live basically in nature as much as possible. But taking everything that I've done and learned over the past, I started working out in the gym when I was 14. I loved the gym. I loved the weight room. I loved the boys. I loved how it made me feel. And so for 20, so that puts me at 25 years in like the fitness industry, and then, you know, like 15 as a professional. So I have like accumulated a lot of knowledge and wisdom, right?
Yeah.
So what I've been working on is I'm writing out, and like one thing that, you know, I got a download of is that I have to start writing more. Like I wrote a ton when I was younger. Like I would journal upon journal, like everything, and I just got away from it. But I created a protocol, and it's called the DIRT protocol, which is so fitting for me being an earth sign, being in nature. But we talk about our roots and like growing our roots deep, and like so that we can grow and we can expand and we can flourish and all this stuff. And for me, like how I view the world is like your roots don't mean shit if your environment is toxic, and your environment is the dirt, like is the soil.
Yeah.
And so that's why my protocol is called DIRT protocol, is because it's the literal environment that you are in as a being, as an organism, but then like also what's going on inside you as well. And I think rucking came into my life because I was looking for the movement that wasn't going to the gym. It was the movement that was going to like hone me in like so specifically to like nervous system care. But it was still getting all the things that I wanted. It was getting outside time. It was getting long distance and strength training. It was getting like a great exercise stimulus without like redlining all the time. And it's a movement practice that you can do that builds muscle, but it doesn't build bulky muscle. So you're still super mobile and agile. Not saying that you shouldn't like work on your mobility if you're rucking, you should. But you're not like I feel my body and I'm like, wow, I'm so agile now versus like if I was going to do CrossFit or like lifting super heavy weights. Like I want my bubble butt back, like for sure. But like I like how I'm flexible and I have full range of motion of all my joints at this point. Because I don't have giant muscles like tightening me up. But the protocol is literally just like everything we're talking about, it all comes back to like having a safe nervous system. And it's like, if you don't have the foundation of whole foods, positive empowering thoughts, and inputs, that's probably my favorite one is like, are you watching true crime shows before you go to bed? Why are you jacking up your nervous system before you go to bed? Like, why are you going into fight or flight before you go to sleep? Like that type of shit, like really like getting granular on things. And what it is doing is your dirt is like your nervous system. And so I'm basically writing all these things out. There's 7 of them. There could be a billion, but for me, it's like these 7 are the most simplified, poignant things. And so that's what I'm working on. And that's how like rucking has inspired, like it's tied a lot of things together for me. Coming from a strength coach position and like soccer coach into like wellness and like coaching, like business coaching and life coaching, it was like, shit, like this is all like so, so, so connected. And I need to get it out of my brain and like into a program, if you will.
Yeah, I love that. That makes so much sense is what you're doing. And I love what you said about like being agile versus like being bulked up. And so I'm curious, like, how has your training shifted from like, I guess, the CrossFit days to what it is now? Like, what's that look like? Like, I know you're rucking.
Yeah.
Is that like your main modality? Is there other things? I see you guys doing all these different workouts and.
Yeah. I actually don't ruck as much as like other ruckers do. Because honestly, it's the time. Like, if you're going to go out for like a 5 mile hike or walk or ruck, you know, that's like 2.5 hours, 3 hours out of your day. And I can only do that like on a Sunday. I can carve out time during the week. Don't get me wrong. It's just not a priority because I do like my whole history with movement was functional fitness. So kettlebells, dumbbells, bands, animal flow, yoga, just fun functional movements. Like I only participated in CrossFit on and off for maybe 6 years of my life. Like I never drank the Kool-Aid. I never was like hardcore into it. And I always ended up doing my own shit anyways because I was
the exact same
one. Running is whack. Like I'm gonna do that, but then I'm gonna do other stuff after. So yeah, I definitely did not hitch my wagon to CrossFit. I've always loved kettlebell work and sandbag work, and odd objects are really fun. Like I have kegs and sandballs, and sleds. Like I love sled work. It's so good for us, and I think that's really reminiscent of just carrying. And we are built to carry as humans. Our ancestors for thousands upon thousands of years were carrying their shit. They had to carry their water, their food, their when they hunted, they had to carry what they killed. They had to carry children, the sick, the elderly, their house. Like, you know, we're built to carry. And just the, like, calm that comes from walking for long times, long distances, and carrying something, it really grounds our nervous system. The bipedal movement is very relaxing, and we can shut off our ego brain during that time. And so when I talk to a lot of women who ruck, like they've healed all types of trauma, all types of shit, just by walking and carrying something.
Wait, with other women, would you add that to that?
No, they would do it by themselves in events that were both men and women. A lot of like one woman that I interviewed, Renee, on my podcast, she healed a lot of trauma that she had around men because she participated in mixed events, and she learned how to trust men again through safe interactions at those events. Like, super powerful. And it was like they were just doing workouts together, but like she literally healed like really big T traumas just by showing up and participating in that event, right?
You feel in connection.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of different layers there. But I mean, so that's my movement practice. So I try to get running in, sprinting in, and then I just go out and, again, I attune, like I listen to my body and I'm like, what do I want to do today? And it's like, well, I just want to like squat with this 40-pound sandball until I can't squat anymore. And I'm like, okay. And so that's what I do. And I do it until my body is like, we're good. And I'm like, okay. And then we're done. Like, I don't force anything. I try to get like a certain time, like, let's just move for half an hour because we're outside and it's nice and whatever. But like, it could be 20 minutes and then I'm walking around just looking at shit in the forest. Like, I don't know. It's different all the time.
So those that you're following your impulse when it comes to working out, because it's so easy to get locked into the I have to's and the should's and like, and even like a dinner, like working towards outcomes and being obsessed with those instead of like, damn, it just feels good to squat today.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that goes into like overriding, like we've been talking about this whole time, like, your ego is like, I have to work out 4 times a week. I have to go to the gym for 90 minutes. I have backs and buys and I have legs and tries the next day, whatever combination that you want to do. And it's like, but that's not for you. Like, that's just something that you're following. Like, What if you like get your period and you're supposed to go to the gym? Like, are you gonna go into a shame spiral because you kind of just lay on the couch all day?
Yeah.
Eat, nourish.
That's the work right there, man. That's the work is like agency. It's choice. Like trauma says it's urgent and you got to do it now. Mm-hmm. And agency says like, yeah, but also, and there's this thing going on. And I totally resonate with your form of exercise. Like I definitely was in some CrossFit groups. Mm-hmm. I love the community and I love the type of exercises, by meaning like a hybrid training of, I like to do different stuff and lift heavy and da da da. And I'm the exact same way. One of my best friends owned a CrossFit box. And I think I did the community wide on Saturday mornings because it was just fun.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the week, it'd be like workout of the day. I'd be like, fuck that. I like lifting heavy weights and I like, doing yoga and doing different things, and it's constant movement. The one I got to say, that's the one impulsive workout that I did recently that backfired.
Oh no!
It was I was like getting ready for, I don't know, maybe it was a podcast or something like that, and I'm like, I've got an hour, and I really want to get in the sauna, and I really want to do yoga, and I was like, how can I do both? And I'm like, I know, it's 95 fucking degrees outside. I'll just do yoga in the heat in the sun. And I was like, this would be great. I'll get vitamin D. I'll ground, like my biohacking perfection stuff kicked in.
Yeah.
10 minutes into that, I knew I had bitten off more than I could chew and I just kept going with it. And I was, we were like done a workout and you just like spun afterwards, but you don't even know what it was. That it's like probably the safety thing that we were talking about. There was a movement in there where my body said, uh-uh. And I said, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't say
down dog.
Yeah, I didn't say I didn't say you're safe. I said get your butt up a little bit more, and
right.
Yeah, and so there's those triggers, those moments, those patterns. Like that's a good example of like, oh, you got some work to do there, bro.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's such a good example because then it was like, and then what happened after? For you.
But for me? I showed up in my therapy appointment and I was like rattled. And she was like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know, I just did yoga. And like, she was like, yeah, you look kind of fucked up. You know, and we had to work with that. And that might have been when I saw the
yoga can fuck you up. It's not the answer to everything.
Oh, dude, what used to fuck me up in yoga is competing with everybody beside me, you know, and
that's funny.
And you know, talk about not being able to rest. Yeah. My idea of rest back in those days was I'm gonna do hot yoga for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go dub jump in an ice bath.
Yeah.
And that was way better than what my friends were doing.
Oh god.
They thought I was like a genius because I'm like, hey guys, by Thursday, when I come in here on Thursday, you guys have been doing two-a-days and y'all coaches and stuff. And I'm like, you guys are assholes on Thursday because they've done workouts by the time I got there. And I'm like, we started doing just regular yoga, easy. And we would do Wim Hof breathing and cold plunges, which still I would say that's too much. But the change that it made in these guys, we were all 25.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. So it's like starting to learn how to pause and rest, even in those early moments.
Oh yeah, there's a lot to unpack there too. Well, we won't save it for, we won't have that conversation. No, it'll be a dinner.
Yeah, we'll have to do
the distortion of the fitness industry.
Yeah, you got something wrong with you. You know, not even gonna say wrong. You got something that needs some help, some support, man. That is a place that you can really get lost. Even social media now. Like I got something going on. I'm a professional. I've been doing this for, I have no problem saying I am a freaking expert. I'm a professional. I've been doing this for 20 years and I still get sucked into the bullshit on social media because it gets into my fix it urgently mentality. And then I'm lost in the sauce again. I don't know if you ever experienced that.
For sure. Oh yeah. I can go like down the rabbit hole of social media and whatever. It's just like, I don't know. I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, I should take more booty shots and put them on social media. Okay, how about not?
Our booty shot. I'll admit, like shots of tequila off your...
No, like ass shots. Like, I'll grow my following if I just post sexier pictures.
I don't know. You just see your pink shorts you had on earlier.
Right, yeah. Those are on my Instagram. You can go and look at my open. I didn't post that yet, but I will. But I think, like, but talking about just, like, tuning into ourselves, great book, Rich as Fuck, highly recommend by Amanda Francis.
Okay.
If you don't know it, you should, because all she talks about is frequency and energy and vibration and calling in, like, anything you want into life, right? And so I'm sure you've heard this being a business owner, but, like, envisioning your future day, like, write out your perfect day. Have you done that?
Yeah.
It's
been a while, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, she talks a lot about doing different things as if they're, it's for her, it's wealthy woman. And so what would your future self, when you have $1 million, what would you think? What would you say? Like, same question that you said in the very beginning, what would you do if you had all the money that you needed? What would you do? How would you speak? What would you think? What would you wear? What would you drive? What would your house be like? Like, literally, like, all these same prompts to get you into that higher vibration of thinking, like, how would I talk? Because then you do those things now. And so, like, for me, I love baseball caps. I love fitteds. I love kicks. And I love, you know, girly things. Like, I literally bought this today because I'm like, I want a bow to put in my hair because $1 million Colleen does, like, fun girly shit like this. You know what I mean? So I'm going to do it now. And so, but it's all about, like, the frequency, the vibration that you want to feel for you and, like, what makes you feel that amount of whatever it is that you're trying to call in. Like, you're calling in that frequency now, that confidence, that wealth, that positivity. Like, you're doing it now in the present moment because that's all that exists. And I think, like, we're talking about attunement and, like, feeling the feels. And it's, like, everything that you want and desire, like, you have to feel it now. Like, the past doesn't exist except in your mind and your body. So, like, what are you doing right now and right now and right now?
Yeah.
So, like, heal and, like, also think about what you want in, like, those minutes that are hopefully coming because nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that... I had to lay that on you because that book is amazing. And she talks about wealth, but really it can apply to anything that we're going after. The body, the house, the car, the whatever. Van by the river. Nice van by the river. But yeah, it's amazing. And it's all about just like how you want to vibe. And it's like vibing that way now,
yep.
Which I just love. And that's like everything that we've been talking about, but thinking about our future.
Well, I love
and you, or business owner.
I love that you bring that up on this podcast, and yeah, I'm talking about the past a lot with the nervous system, and that's important. A lot of things that take us out of the moment are things from the past. We're trying
right.
to project that on the future. We're trying to think of the worst possible thing and avoid that.
Right.
But everything is happening now, and if we can really get clear on what we want. And take an assessment if we know ourselves. Well, then, mm-hmm. like what I was saying earlier, hey, nobody is telling me that I can't do these things like I'm telling myself.
Right.
So it takes a lot of capacity and a lot of, I don't know, like self, being able to analyze yourself to see those things and then to be able to self-correct. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's such a valuable tool. And it's just constantly being here now, assessing what's here, getting clear on what we want, not to override and force these things. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, we can really stay stuck in the past, repeating that over and over. And we have trauma and dysregulation. That's what's going on. The scary event has passed. Yeah, it is still alive and well in the system, in this environment right now. Yeah. It's affecting everything that we do. And so it's not that... we have to accept those things and take that responsibility. And I love that you just laid out a fantastic framework, you know, even adding that to your DIRT program.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's fantastic. I love the way you're approaching things and leading by example and then constantly shape-shifting and reassessing and willing to do things different. I mean, that's what a real leader is. I can't stand when I see someone that it's like this one side, this one tool. I'm a hammer and everything's a nail. And if you're not a hammer, then go fuck yourself. It's like, no, dude, all these things fit together. And if you're just willing to have a different perception, you know, do something different, listen to your body and try and fail and apologize and you know, say I'm sorry and do things differently. You know, learn from your mistakes. We are not static. And you're a great example of that. And that's why I love you so much.
Aw, thank you. I love you too. We're just vibing and helping other people get their vibe on too.
So let's pause here and we're gonna start putting a bow on this sunbitch because I know we could do this all day long.
I was gonna talk about what I'm doing for business. So
tell me about business, how you help women and like how people can find you and stuff like that, and then any links you have you can send me that you did.
I'll send them to you. Yeah, I think like from everything that we've talked about, viewers, listeners can get an understanding that I'm just a conductor of
badass bitch stuff.
Yeah. And like bringing people together. And I want to lead, obviously, but I also have, you were talking about the capacity to deal with other people's like nervous systems and whatever. I think working with children for my ability to disassociate from like others' bullshit and like what's true for me. So I can go into a lot of situations and be like, that sounds like you stuff, and still hold compassion and loving compassion for them. And it really all from the beginning, what has been from a place of love and support, and like all ships rise together. Like when that water level goes up, we all rise. Whatever that saying is, more eloquently than that. And I really do, like, from every part of my soul and my heart, want women to, and men too, but I'm just supporting women at this point, to live better lives. Like right now, you know, you probably know statistics better than me, but like probably 1 in 3 people have some type of like anxiety issue or depression issue or mental health issue or overweight. Like I think we were pushing like 75% of our culture is overweight or obese at this point. Like if you are well, you are living in a good environment, I'll say, like your body isn't getting overweight. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't make any sense. Like you can't have both these things occurring at the same time. And so something is just wrong with our society. And like there's just a lot of people to help. And what really sparked my superpower was COVID and how disconnected we all got. And we saw like suicide went up like 500% during COVID. Like that tells you how much we need each other. And
worse, alcoholism, like
yeah, a lot of bad things went up, and a lot of good things came out of it too. But yes, you know,
absolutely,
we need to,
baby.
Yeah. So everything that I'm doing with a partner. Her name's Joanne. She's my co-leader on a lot of things, and I just am like done playing small, and I don't want other women to play small anymore, whatever that's defined for as for them. And it's time to stop feeling miserable. It's time to stop feeling lost and lonely and sad and overweight and whatever all other things too. So everything we do is in community. So we have our dance parties that are local in North Carolina. I'm actually taking them on the road. So that hasn't been announced yet because we're still figuring it out. But we have our women's retreats for business owners that are happening 3 times a year. We just had one in Montana. That's what you saw, bitch. But we have one coming up in October at the beach of North Carolina. And everything that we do is a balance of feminine and masculine. Like we will work on business stuff. we will use our logical brains, but then we're also going to play. We're going to go build some fucking sandcastles on the beach. We're going to have some Nerf battles. We're going to dance. We're going to pause and have meditation time and journal time and other things like that. So we're trying to fuse a lot of those essentials into our gatherings. And then we have our mastermind. So our mastermind for business women is all about that money mentality, because that money mentality is really like your service mentality. Like, I want to make a lot of money equals I want to serve a lot of people. So the frequency of money, we got to raise to that to like bring that in and have that be our guiding excitement for all that we produce. But really, it's like you've been doing, you're running a business from your heart and your soul. And that's very uncommon. Like, people really abandon like what they love to do for like the business model or what is perceived as a good business. And then they get fried out and then they end up doing what they love. And you see that with like people who like they start out as realtors, but then they end up being like crafters because their true passion laid in like working with clay or being an artist. And so really it's about helping women just be in a community, because like my frequency is going to, you are going to tap into my frequency, right? Like, when we're together, our frequencies get higher. And that's what happens when humans are together. Like, we all attune to the highest frequency. And I'm not, as a coach, I'm not going to fucking let you settle for bullshit and like whatever story or whatever you got going on. I'm going to love you and be like, we're doing better because you can do better and you can build greater capacity, and we're helping you build that capacity through like the DIRT protocol. So we have a lot of fun. We get shit done and we have laughs and swear and we have dance parties and, you know, all the things. So, yes.
It sounds like so much fun.
It's fun.
I'm a little bit jealous that I'm not a lady right now.
I know. You should be. We are thinking about doing a couples forest rave for Valentine's Day. Like, would you and your wife come to that?
Yeah? For sure, yeah.
Sweet. So,
I'll get in a group.
Yeah. So, that we're always thinking about different ideas like that. But literally, it's just fun getting work done, but that balance of listening to ourselves, resting, recovering, along with all the good work that we're meant to do.
You know, what I'm thinking about as I hear how you're helping people, I just see, you know, you had this amazing resource, this person that witnessed you and saw your potential and really helped you flourish. And I think it's so cool that you're turning around and providing that for other ladies, because it, you know, obviously it impacted you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so my last question, and then I want you also to tell us, you know, where we can find you and all that.
Yeah.
But my last question for the audience, you know, it sounds like one thing that I wrote down and put a bunch of circles around was like, we're done being small.
Right.
And that's something you're trying to share with ladies, and I freaking love it. I'm doing that myself this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No longer molding myself or keeping the peace or walking on eggshells to make someone else happy. If you don't like me, that's cool, man.
Yep. So
give me just one tip. If ladies are out there, they're listening to this podcast, they're like, hell yeah, I'm done playing it small. Like, what's one thing they could focus on? One tip. Where would you start?
Where would I start for the modern woman?
Only had to be a star. Didn't have to, just one good one that maybe comes.
One good one. I would have to say believing in yourself and like the stories that you tell yourself, because everything starts in your own brain. You can or you cannot, both are true. And so I think like if you can just start to change, start to recognize the stories that you're telling yourself.
There you go.
And then that you are telling yourself stories, and then say, I don't believe that story anymore. That's not true for me anymore. And start telling yourself a different story, because that story is going to then impact if you get up off the couch and you go for a walk, if you choose healthier food, if you ditch the boyfriend, if you show up to a forest rave. Like, we've had women show up and they were like, I was so scared to come. I don't know anybody here. But like, something in them decided that they were going to show up, and like, they showed up and like, their lives were changed. You know what I mean? Like, that started with them. So I would say mindset and the stories and the beliefs is going to be the biggest tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. It all starts with us.
Yeah.
You know, once you can see it, you don't have to be it to see it. You got to be able to sit with it. That takes capacity and listening, and that happens over time. But it sounds like that's the magic is listening to yourself, doing what you need, and then sharing that with other people.
100%.
It's been so awesome chatting with you. It's been too long. It's catching you up. If people are interested in rooking in your community and forest raves and checking out your podcast, your social media, where can they find you?
Oh, man. All those things are like different.
Are they really? We'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah. I mean, for my goofy shit, it's Instagram Wilderness Bay, BAE. There you'll find links to like all the other things that I have going on. And then my profile on Facebook is public because I don't got nothing to hide. So Colleen Flaherty on Facebook, find me. You can follow me there. And then I have two. I have ruckingwomen.com. That's all the rucking and retreat things. And then my coaching is colleenflaherty.co for the like business mastermind retreats style stuff.
That was a lot. So
I know. That's what I told you.
So there's lots of options. If you were listening and you just wrote down one of those, hit up Colleen. She's an incredible resource. And
send me a DM or PM or email or text or whatever.
The person that's scared to reach out, that this could potentially change their life, what would you tell them?
Do it.
Amen, sister. Just do it.
Just swear, like you got it right.
That's right, man. Well, thank you again for coming on. This has been awesome. I freaked out.